And there's a lot going on in our lives day to day, a lot changing our lives day to day. We're going through a lot of battles and storms and decision making, and I tell you, it really is. It's hard to keep things straight sometimes, and as the old timers say, it's hard to keep in the road. Y'all have heard that expression, keep in the road. That means just keep things going the right direction. You know, keep from falling off the cliff. And sometimes I feel like we're living our lives. Remember the old cartoon Roadrunner? Beep, beep. And a coyote. Poor coyote, man. I always felt bad for him. He was just hungry. You know? That smart aleck Roadrunner. He was a smart thing, you know? Just a smart tail. Well, I know, but he had to be so smart about it. But anyway, that poor coyote spent his whole life falling off cliffs. You know, that music would play. You see the smoke, you know, come up. Sometimes that's our lives, and we're like the Wile E. Coyote. We just, our whole lives are spent hanging on a cliff or falling off a cliff or trying to get something that we can't quite get. We get right, I mean, so many times you get right there at that Roadrunner, you know, right there. And he'd just kick it another notch in and just take off, and he'd be so frustrated. Sometimes our life feels that way. We're right there at that blessing. We're right there at victory, and then it just leaves our grasp. But I want to talk to you about how he's calling this morning. And how he's calling you out of what you're in, what you're carrying, and wants to give you peace, wants to give you rest. Because we got enough problems in life, that's for sure, than to come to church and be browbeat and bullied about your life. Church is about sharing the gospel. And the gospel means good news. And the good news is this, that Jesus did die and he paid the price in full for us, that we could be clean, that we could be righteous, that we could belong to him. And so it's important we understand that. We're still in such a society, even here, especially in the Bible Belt, I guess, where legalism has such a stronghold on people's lives. But we're sometimes at a place to where we think that the struggle that we're carrying or the weight that we're carrying is keeping us lost, or it's keeping us from God loving us, or it makes us a worse person than the one beside us who seems to have it together. I can promise you, there's nobody that has it together. We just put on a really strong face, but inside we weep, inside we cry, inside we're in a bad place, because none of us, we have good seasons, we have better seasons, but we all have bad seasons too. And sometimes it's hard to be strong when we're so broken. And God is calling us to get rid of that. As I was at the church a few days ago, I was in my office and I put it on Facebook. It dropped in my spirit. I dropped in my spirit, and I posted it as soon as I heard his voice. And I put on there that the struggles that we carry, how did I put it? Pull it up one, Melanie. Because I want you to hear the exact quote of what God gave me. I can't remember the exact quote, but the struggle that we carry limits the use of our life. Now think about that. The struggle that we carry limits the use of our lives. And we're not meant to carry that. That's why God says, cast your care upon me, for he careth for you. When we are carrying weight, when we are carrying something, it limits how we function in life. It limits how our joy is measured, how our peace is measured, how our strength is measured. You know, when we are weak and can't get up ourselves, we got to have help. Jesus is that help that wants to help us. Look what he says in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. Very familiar passage if you've been in church very long. If not, you hear it for the first time, it's a beautiful passage. This is Jesus himself talking in 11:28. Come to me, all that labor, all that are heavy, laden, and I'll give you rest. Man, isn't that a great thing? Man, life just kicks us. I mean, Marta didn't expect to have her issue Tuesday all of a sudden. You know, she's minding her own business, doing her thing, and all of a sudden she starts hurting, and boom, she's in the hospital. Having a piece of her taken out. Not something she planned. But it happened. We see it happen every day. Our lives can change in a moment. And that what happens is the more that we allow weight to remain, the heavier it becomes and the harder it becomes to get rid of. Even physically, we know that, right? The older you get, the harder it is to lose weight. When I was 20 years old, I could eat 5 burritos from Taco Bell, 6 hard tacos. I could eat one of those Mexican pizzas from Taco Bell, drink a big old sweet tea, and then have those cinnamon twists for dessert. I didn't gain a pound. My cholesterol probably shot to 500, but I didn't gain a pound. All of a sudden, man, I got married. I just got married. I'm not blaming it on you. I'm just saying that's when it started. I got married, and a year later, I'm like, oh, my gosh, who was that in the mirror? And I'm like, what happened? The older you get, you know, they say your metabolism slows down, right? So you got to do more to get the same result as someone 20 years old. A 40-year-old's got to do twice as much as a 20-year-old to get the same result, because things just begin to change, and your system slows down, and the weight's just stubborn. It just, I'm not letting go of you. I'm hanging on here and here and here. I'm hanging on. That's how our battles are, man. They hang on. They latch on to us. They say, I'm not letting you go. You're going to carry this fear. You're going to carry this addiction. You're going to carry this depression. You're going to carry this discouragement. You're going to carry this lack of vision. You're going to carry all of this stuff to the day you go to the grave. And the Bible, the devil tells us that, speaks that into our lives, whispers that in our ear, and that's what we carry. But we can't function properly carrying all of that weight. We know someone has to have a hip or a knee replacement. One of the first things, if you're overweight, you got to lose weight. Lose some weight before I do the surgery. You got to take some weight off. Why? Because that weight's not good for the pressure of what they're fixing. Weight is not good in our lives spiritually. We carry it. Man, we carry that weight. And we shouldn't carry it. Jesus says, I'm going to give you rest. Now, let me tell you something you may not have heard before. Jesus is, this parable, and I'm taking a little bit of a broader scope, but for this time period, the reason Jesus is saying this, he is specifically talking about the legalistic religious people of his day. And he's saying, you've got all of these rules and all of this law that's weighing you down. And man, we see that now. We tell our 16-year-old young people, hey man, give your life to Jesus. He loves you and he forgives you and you can live a life of victory. And they come to the altar and they weep and they cry. And then the preacher gives them a good old pat and a hug. We love them. Holy Ghost showed up. Hallelujah. Now let me talk to you. Here's what's got to happen from here on out. Here's what you got to do now. 16-year-old boy, you can't never look at another girl again with the eyes of lust. Are you kidding me? They've not been redeemed in the future. We're still going to have these battles. But we tell these people, you got to not do this, and you got to not do this, and you got to not do this, and you got to do this, and you got to do this. You got to be at church 3 times a week, and you got to do this, you got to do this, you got to give, you got to serve, you got to do this, 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 this. And all of this becomes a weight. And we're like, my God, I just want to love Jesus. I just want to serve God and know he loves me. But the legalistic Pharisees made it so complicated and so hard to do that it became a burden. See, church should never be a burden. Serving Jesus should never be a burden. I'm talking about a weight burden to where it absolutely takes our focus off walking in joy and peace and power and strength. And that's what the weight of this legalistic system did. Jesus is saying, look, I'll give you rest. You don't have to let all of this legalism bind you. I came that if you just trust in me, and yes, church, it's that simple. Preachers don't always preach it because it's a control thing. It simply is Jesus, period. It's not about a church or denomination. It's about Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He is the only righteous judge. He is the only redeemer. He's the only savior. He's the only shepherd of the flock. It's Jesus Christ. And when the focus is on that, lives are changed, because they don't try to find their rest in pleasing the pastor or pleasing the deacons or pleasing someone else or pleasing your poor little grandma who's always judging you or pleasing your aunt who's always staring you up and down, seeing if you're dressed the right way, if you got the right way. Oh, my God, you got a tattoo. You know what the Bible says about tattoos. I guess I won't see you no more because you'll be down there and I'll be up there.
And we place all of this pressure, and we've gotten so far away from the gospel of Jesus. That's why folks are tired. Man, they're carrying all of this weight that we weren't meant to carry. As a young person, I'm not talking about we don't listen to the Holy Spirit and that we don't let Him convict us, and when things aren't right, we listen to His voice and we change, yes. But man, I remember as a young person, I lived so many of my teenage years just so bound, thinking every thought I had, that I wasn't where I was supposed to be with God, because at 16, I might have looked at a girl or two with the wrong intent. You feel me? You know what I'm saying? Bill probably thought I was a heathen. My boy, that boy would be baptized in the Holy Ghost 3 times. But here's the deal. All of us fight that. I was just brave enough to kind of act on it. Not fully, but I'm kind of like the dog that's all barking, no bite. I'm a big barker. I'm a German Shepherd barker. But I'm a Chihuahua biter. You know what I'm saying? So that's kind of where I'm at. But I'm sitting here in my teenage years feeling never knowing. Church, I really struggled with the weight. I was in a service one time years ago. It really bothered me. Actually, it was a funeral service I was at. And the preacher called a young man out in the audience, had him stand up just during a funeral, and says, "You need to give your heart, you need to give your life to Jesus. You need to give it. Come on, son, let's do it. Come on. Man, what? You can't do it that way. You're not nailing a nail in a 2x4. The Holy Spirit has to speak. And it has to draw you. And you have to, for yourself, hear and recognize and realize what Jesus did and how that you need Him. And so we've got all of this dogmatic legalism. Even today we have it. We have it today. So much. That's why we have all these denominations. And man, some won't talk to the others, or some think others are in false doctrine. And some, here's my deal. If someone believes in Jesus and knows that He paid the price for their sin, and in Him is salvation alone, they're all right in my book. Whether they're Methodist or Presbyterian or Pentecostal or Southern Baptist or Independent Baptist or whatever they are, if they believe in Jesus, we have a common denominator. But what happens is the legalism added all of the stuff they had to do. They added stuff. Added. You got to do this. Got to do that. And added stuff. So Jesus is saying, look, quit carrying that. I don't give you rest. Then He goes on to verse 29. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me. Learn of me, He says. Me. I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. Here's what religion gets you. Now, whether you feel this way or not, it's your business. I'm just telling you how I feel. When Jamie's friend, about a year and a half ago, killed himself. Here in the States, we 17-year-old boy, he shot himself in the head. And my son at that time was in Nebraska when his friend killed himself. He came home for the funeral, stayed a few months, went back. But a girl out in Nebraska, a woman, was telling Jamie, right after this happened, "You know where he's at, Jamie. You know he's in hell, right? You know he's in hell. Why would anybody put that weight on that boy?" Man, what ignorance and foolishness. Are you God? Who says, church, you can't find in the Bible, not my Bible, not the good old King James or probably any other version. I'm not just King James. I'm just using that. That's what we most love to use. You can't find anywhere in the Bible that says, if a person kills themselves, they go to hell. It's not in there. We've made that up by saying, well, you can't ask forgiveness, so that's why, okay. You're sleeping with somebody other than your wife, and you have a heart attack in bed. You love God, but you love that too. You love God. You really do love God, and you have been saved, but you have a moment of weakness. I mean, you just couldn't resist yourself. She threw herself on you. You're only a man, right, Joe Brown? You're just mortal. And she was hot. And she threw herself on you in a moment of weakness. You and Sharon just had a fight. You were mad at her anyway. She came along at the right moment, and booyah! Then all of a sudden, Joe has a heart attack. Now, Sharon may say he's in hell, but I'm going to tell you this. How foolish did we become to say that? Just because, church, we slip doesn't mean we're lost. This is why Jesus came. If I could get there on my own, he didn't need to do what he did. It's a waste of his time. But he came for those moments of weakness and struggle. For this girl to tell my son, you know your best friend's in hell, this is what I'm talking about. No wonder nobody wants God. No wonder they run from the church and they run from the preachers. My Lord, did you see the clip of Las Vegas, the preacher out there on the streets, that YouTube video right before the shooting? There's a street preacher out there, and he's preaching to the people walking into the country concert that night. He's out there preaching, calling them all kinds of names. Me and Marty talking about that in the hospital. Talking about, you know, calling them, you're going to hell, and you drinking your alcohol and smoking your cigarettes and listening to your country music. You repent because you're going to hell. Repent, repent, repent. Church, repent doesn't mean that we live a perfect life. Repent means we change our thinking and we recognize I need a Savior. And Jesus is the only way I get to heaven, period. He's the only way I'm saved is Jesus. We wonder why people are flocking away and why the next generation, our millennials, say I don't want anything to do with it because we're telling everybody that everything you do, you're burning hell because of it. Is there anything, Jewel, and Chuck, you've raised kids, and you've had struggles. Can I get an amen? You've had struggles. At your maddest moment, at your most frustrated, choke the life out of them moment. I know. I heard the 911 call my scanner. Would you ever say, I'm going to sin you and burn you in hell forever? Forever because of what you've done. But yet we declare that message. That's what we're saying to the people. That's what we're saying. We teach a God of love and mercy, right? I know what you're thinking. Yeah, he's a righteous judge. Once again, he came. He died that we would have eternal life. John 3:17, he did not come to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. That's what Jesus did. That's where we find our rest. Because, man, I'm telling you, people, legalism, even today, will keep you down. I know some of us still have this thinking. I know we do. Some of you go meet Pablo's after lunch today, and you see Chuck back there, and he's knocking down a drink. Bless his heart. He thinks it's hot in here. Whoo, just wait. Some of us have that thinking. And it's sad that that has become the focus instead of the message of Jesus. And what Jesus did. Jesus knew we'd be weak. He knew it. He knew we'd be weak. And I thank God for my best friend Bill through high school. I'm telling you, he kept me anchored. I was very blessed to find a friend through high school that was a Christian friend. Because he kept me grounded. And that was hard because I probably ungrounded him. But he kept me grounded. Not only did he had to keep himself grounded and try to pull me back in and keep me grounded. And I really appreciate that. A lot of young people don't have that support system in high school, and I had that. And I'm thankful that I had that. Verse 30, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. It shouldn't be a chore to serve Jesus. It should be a blessing. Oh, it should be a blessing to serve the Lord. Anthony, come on up here. I'm going to use him as an example this morning. We're talking about weight. You can stay right there right from the platform. We're talking about weight and what weight does. I need you to hold that. Just face the crowd. Now, this rock represents what we're carrying, whether it's our fear, our discouragement, our addiction. It could be a religious spirit. A lot of those are in a church. Now, that rock's not real heavy, but it's heavy enough that he's going to be able to prove my point, because I want you to keep both hands on it. If I tell Anthony, hey, Anthony, give me a hug, man. Why aren't you hugging me? Got the weight, right? He's got the weight. If I give him a cup of coffee, got to keep both hands on it. Here's a cup of coffee. You can drink his coffee. Oh, you can't because the weight's in your way. If he is carrying that everywhere that he goes, it is limiting the use of his life. If Gail falls on the floor and I say, Anthony, go help Gail up off the floor. He can't. He can't help someone else because he's bound by this. That weight's a constant reminder. And as he carries it, he gets tired of it. He gets tired of holding it. He gets tired of carrying it. He can't take a shower because he's holding it. He can't lay in bed because he's holding it. He can't drive in a car because he's holding it. Everything in his life now has been limited because he has this in his hands. But when he gives it to God, remember I always play God, I'm a preacher. When he gives it to God and the weight is removed, give me a hug, man. Look what happens. All of a sudden he's free to do what God's called him to do. Thank you very much for being my example. That's what weight does. It binds us. It's a stronghold. That's what Jesus is saying. It shouldn't be a weight, man. It should be a pleasure. One more scripture I want to read in John chapter 6. St. John chapter 6. This is also Jesus talking. And we're going to be in verse 37 through 40. He speaks this and says, all the Father giveth me shall come to me. And in him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. This other translation means I will never reject. Oh, that's beautiful. Whoever God calls, he's not going to reject you. Yeah, but what if I don't do what's right? He's not going to reject you. But what if I met? He's not going to reject you. If he's called you, if you know he's yours, and he's your father, and you're his child, you're not. Go back to your own kids. That's the best example I can use. Our own kids do stuff that we're absolutely like, hey, is that your daughter? No. Not mine. You got somebody. We're like Peter, right? I don't know you, Lord. That ain't my boy. No. That's the other Jamie you're talking about. No, not that one. That's not mine. But we'll never reject our kids. We'll never denounce them and say they're not mine. They don't belong to me. They're ours in good and in bad. We're burdened when they don't do good, and we rejoice when they do great. They're still our children, and they're part of our family, and they're part of our bloodline. Just like Jesus says, I'm not going to reject you. Here's what happens, and so I want to make this so clear, because we, through the years of religious teaching, have opened the altars and told people, give your hearts to Jesus, and that is what we're supposed to do, but then we go to a secondary thing, and then we put in front of them this map of all the do's and don'ts instead of just saying, let the Holy Spirit lead you. Listen to the Holy Spirit from this point on. Listen to God, read his word, pray, and let God direct your steps. People ask me all the time, is this a sin? Is this a sin? Is this a sin? I'll go back to this. If God is speaking to you, you need to listen to it. There's a reason. I'm not a preacher that believes drinking beer sends you to hell, smoking cigarettes sends you to hell, saying cuss words sends you to hell. I don't believe that. Because I know many of you who are saved that do those things. And so I know that you belong to Jesus. I get it. But we put people in this box and pressure and put this weight on them. Now, yes, there should be fruit showing, and we absolutely should be a light. We absolutely will reflect our Father. I'm not saying that. But what reflects a father more, our father more? Someone showing mercy to the sinner or the righteous indignation holy person that's talking and judging about someone else? We got to think about that. There are still churches today, even here in this area, that absolutely, the way some of y'all are dressed this morning, you would be talked to after service. You'd be talked to. Not that any of you I think are inappropriate, but you would be talked to. Well, we don't really wear pants. You know, women, you need to dress up. And we don't do this. And, you know, we don't do this. And, you know, young men, you can't, you know, them earring, and you know, Chuck, I know you got that tattoo, and I love you, brother, but you can't get up here and sing because, you know, that tattoo just da-da-da-da-da-da. And man, we push people away. My son got a tattoo out in Nebraska. Did y'all know that? He's got a tattoo on his arm. Did it make me love him any less? Absolutely not. Do I think any less of him? No. I do think, I hope he don't regret it when he's older. That's my thing. That, you know, I hope he don't regret it. Like, man, I was young. I just wish I'd have done it. But no, I don't think any less of him whatsoever. He's not going to hell because he got a tattoo. He don't have a 666 buzz in his hair because he got a tattoo. He's not on the hell train down to lower level hell. He's not in the tattoo part of hell. The cigarette part of hell. The Budweiser part of hell. He got a tattoo on his arm. Yeah, but look what the book of Leviticus, who reads Leviticus, number one, that's playing. But here's the deal. Try to read Leviticus. You'll love this message today, I promise. Start reading Leviticus. Oh my God, I love my pastor. Because all of you be in hell. Including me. We'd all be there. Jesus fulfilled Leviticus. He fulfilled Deuteronomy. He fulfilled Isaiah. He fulfilled the prophets of the law. He fulfilled it and took all the tattoos and cigarette smoke and alcoholism upon himself to set me free. That's what Jesus did. Hallelujah. And so that's what he's saying. Man, I'll give you rest. You could. How many Christians aren't happy being Christians? They're miserable. Yeah, I'm saved, but I can't do this, can't do that, can't have no fun. Travel with me for a weekend. Me and Melanie are pretty hip, aren't we, Ashley? Yeah, we are. You know we are. We're fun. Prime timers, what'd I do coming back from West Jefferson in the van? It was so fun. What'd I do? Remember? No, I didn't crash. What was I doing in the van? Remember going by people? Yes. I had the van full of people. We go by people, and I just lay on the horn, wave. They look up. One guy was on the roof on his hands and knees. He hopped up. It was so fun. I'm glad he didn't fall, thank God. But it was so funny. I was honking at people and waving, and everybody in the van. We was always having a good time. And this one guy, he got so excited. Remember George Ann's face? This young guy's in the street. And he's just walking like he is. I hold my horn. He went, I mean, he lit like a Christmas tree lit up. Somebody need to love that boy. And he got the love from the Living Word Mobile as it went by. Can have a lot of fun, man, a lot of stuff. Man, you know, gosh, everything ain't the devil. She's the devil. It's the devil. That's the devil. That's the devil. My Lord, everything ain't the devil. Gosh. Yeah, Mama says she's the devil. Now, there are some devils, we get that, but everything you do ain't the devil. Like the church teaches us, everything's the devil. My God. I told you that time I had that firebird, that guy told me. I was already preaching then. I wasn't pastoring, but I was preaching at my other church, and I had a firebird. And he come to me and says, I look like what a preacher ought to be driving. Let's see. Oh, here it is. All pastors in 1 Timothy, we talk about deacons, must not drive firebirds with tinted windows and spinners and a 12-inch woofer in the back playing MC Hammer. That's not in there. My God. I couldn't believe he even said it. I was like, that's what you're looking at, what I'm driving? You don't even know me. You've never heard me preach. You don't know what I stand for. You don't know my life and how I live it. And you're judging me by what I drive? How many times do we do that? We package someone, don't we? And we look at their lives and we're like, oh my God. Now I admit, me and Melanie are getting a little bit older, and I admit some of the things the millennial generation are different for us. We are a generation removed. And there are times that we will jokingly say when we're at Walmart, you know Walmart folks, right? There are times that we will say, oh my gosh, they need Jesus. Just because it's like, what were they thinking? But it's not in a hellbound way. We're just playing. It's just like, oh my gosh, bless their hearts. They need a hug. They need some love. They need to know, they need a makeover. You know, come to my house, let my wife and daughter work on you, because my God, girl.
Woo!
Oh, you're single? Wow, I don't know why. Yeah. We do it jokingly, but not hellbound. But some people do that. They package a deal and just assume because of what they see, that's what they are. And I'm so thankful that Jesus died for humanity, for us here. Verse 38, I came down from heaven, Jesus says, not to do my will, but the will of him that sent me. So what was God's will for us? Verse 39 tells us, it is the Father's will which sent me, that all of which he give me, I should lose nothing. I'm not going to lose you. You're not going to be unsaved once I save you. You're not going to be lost once I find you. We sing that song, right, Amazing Grace? I once was lost, but now I'm found. Then we teach a message right after the song, you better stay saved. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Now you're telling me I've got to stay saved. So am I got to be found again, or am I okay where I'm at? Such mixed messages. Man, let's just focus and preach the gospel, the good news of what Jesus did. He is enough. That's why the cross is so powerful. The blood is so powerful. The message is so powerful. This is what draws people to him, is hearing this good news of the gospel, of what he truly came to do. He says, all that God gives me, I will lose none of them. Don't worry about it. I've got you. But I'm going to go through a bad season, God. I still got you. Lord, I'm going to do things I never thought I would have done, but I've still got you. Nobody starts out wanting to be an addict or an alcoholic. Nobody starts out saying, I want to grow up and be an alcoholic or a drug addict. But what happens in life is as we open that door, that Pandora box to the devil to begin to experiment, for some they can let it go, for some they can't. And for those that can't, it bites them and it grabs them. And just like Anthony was carrying that rock, that becomes a rock you carry every single day. And that rock is constantly reminding you of what you are. But what we need to do is look at the rock of Jesus to remind us of what we truly are. And the grace of Jesus is greater than the rock that you're carrying. The power of Jesus is greater than anything of your past, what you've done, where you've been. I don't care what you've done. If you've blasted out God and blasphemed his name and rejected him and whatever, when you call upon his name, the Bible says you shall be saved. Romans tells us that. You shall be saved. Rest. To know that God's got me. I gave my heart specifically. I remember the night I gave my heart where I really went to the altar. I was 9 years old, and I was under conviction, and I gave my heart to the Lord and cried out to him, went to that altar, and got baptized that same week. It was revival going on. They had a baptism at the end of the week, and I got baptized that week, came out of that water, and I knew that I'd been changed. Well, you know what? I've done a lot of stuff since I was 9 years old. I'm not the person I was when I was 9 years old. That's what's sad about raising kids. Right, they're so innocent and precious and they're little and, oh, you just love them. And they hit teenage years and they start experimenting and doing things and getting on a darker side sometimes. And you're like, oh, my God, why don't. But you know what? I maybe didn't get on a real dark, dark side, thank God, because of God's grace and because of the friend he sent me to help keep me grounded. But I've done a lot since I was 9 years old that I'm not proud of. I'm not that innocent little 9-year-old boy anymore. But when I got saved and got baptized and knew that God was mine, he didn't call me, church, to lose me. He didn't draw me when I was 9 years old to say when I'm 40-some years old, oh, you're not mine no more. He has kept me through every season. He's kept me through every trial. He's kept me through every sin. He's kept me through every struggle, through every stronghold, through every wrong thought, through every wrong word. He's kept me. He's kept me. That's the keeping power of Jesus, that he keeps us. We're great about telling someone how to get saved, but we don't let them know that they can stay saved by the same way they got saved. The same Jesus that drew you to himself is the same Jesus that holds you to the end. The Bible says that we are sealed. His Holy Spirit seals us to the day of redemption. I'm his. You can be his. He don't lose none of them. He don't lose anybody. It says, he goes on to say, I'll lose nothing but should make it. But should raise it up again in the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son, everyone that sees Jesus and believes on him. Notice this, church. We've gotten all this works message. Jesus says, if you believe on me, he didn't say you got to live perfect. You got to do everything right, that everything sets you back again. It says, believe on what I did for you. Just believe me. Just believe me. How many times I told our kids that? Just believe me. Just trust me. They don't have to see the evidence. Just trust me. And then we handle it and we work it out for them. Jesus saying, just trust me. Just trust me. I'm working it out for you. I've already worked it out for you, and I'm going to keep working it out for you. And you're going to see the end result, I promise. Because what I did for you is enough to keep you all of your days. I'm going to be this bold to say this, and some of you may not receive this, but I've got to say it. I've got to say it, church, because this, I mean, my job is to preach the gospel, not preach something that makes everybody happy or comfortable. Someone texted me the other day and says, please pray for me. Don't give up on me. I have failed, and I hope I can be forgiven. Here was my response. I text back. I said, you've already been forgiven, not only of your past sins, but your future sins. Rest in Christ. We have been so programmed. And I say this all the time. If we're really going to stand by the theology that we have to confess each sin before we die, then we're all in trouble. Am I right, Don? I mean, we're all in trouble, because there's no way you confess all your sins before you die. Not every individual one. Because I know you, brother. There's no way you confess every single one of them. Not all of them. Because you might leave out one. Yeah, I sure she will. So I'm thankful that when I give my life to Jesus, that blood, the Bible says we have an advocate. Jesus is our advocate, our intercessor, that keeps our righteousness secure. He paid the price in full. And if we could ever, this is what he's trying to tell his people, look, rest in me. Rest in what I'm going to do. Rest in who I am and what I came to do. I came to save the lost. I came that you would be secure. I came to lose nothing. I came that everyone which seeth the Son, believeth on him, may have everlasting life. Man. I was telling Marjorie in the hospital, we were talking, and I told her the more, the longer I'm a pastor, the more that I study God's word and hear his voice speaking, the more troubled I am with preaching that promotes division and hate and condemnation and fear. Preaching should never promote fear. People ask me all the time, you know, about our church, you know, hey, are you your pastor? Are you? And some people say, so are you one of the hell and fire brimstone preachers? Nope. So if that's what you like, we ain't to church. Because I'm not going to tell you every Sunday how you're going to hell. That's not what I preach. I'm going to promote the product. The product is Jesus. The product is him. That's the message. Some people like that, and that's fine. That's fine. But I don't believe that fear brings people to repentance as much as love brings people to repentance. The Bible speaks of that, that love is what draws us to repentance. Melanie works with a coworker she worked with the other day. We was at a wedding, and we were giving her a ride back, and she's never been here to a service. She goes to her own church. But she told Melanie, said, you know, I see your Facebook posts, see different things y'all post. And she said, I can so tell from the post that your church is full of love. That's what I see. I see the love that your church has. This is someone who's been established in another church for many, many years. Never been here, but recognizes just from Facebook posts. And that's what she said. I see the love that you have in your church. That's what draws people. No drug addict, no alcoholic wants to hear, you better stop drinking or you're going to burn in hell. What they need to hear is, Jesus can give you rest. Is there any alcoholic or drug addict that wants to be that? They're happy at their life? No, they're not happy. They need rest. They're tormented. They're bound. They're chained. They're carrying that rock everywhere they go, and it's limiting the use of their life, of what they're supposed to be doing. And they can't just drop it. For some of us that say, why don't they just quit drinking? Why don't you quit smoking? Why don't you quit judging? Why don't you start giving your tithes? So if it's so easy just to do something, we're great about that, aren't we? Throwing those rocks and judging. Why don't they just stop? And why are they doing this? And they're this, and they're this, and they're this, and they're this. What they need to know is they are loved by the same Creator that you are loved by. And but for the grace of God, I would be a crackhead or an alcoholic or in prison. But because of Jesus, and only because of Jesus, am I been spared of that path. Only because of Him. Because I'm telling you, Bill can tell you, our personalities were very different in school. He was very quiet and reserved, and I was very talky and very flirty. And if I'd have let that dark side get a hold of me, man, I'm telling you, I told you before, and I mean this, it ain't bragging, I promise. I would have been a good party guy. You would have loved hanging out with me if I was on that scene. Because I would have been, man. I'd have been leading. My son's that way. My son got the same personality. He draws everybody to him. I would be the one on top of the table with the cowboy hat and the lasso. Woo! Put the dollar bills in, girls. I'd have been there. Because that's my personality. And that's what made me mad at God at 17. Because I couldn't do it. And I wanted to do it. I wanted to date them bad girl. Like her own mama said, I wanted a bad girl. A bad girl, a good wife, right? But no, the Holy Ghost always showed up. Thank you. I mean, man, it used to frustrate me. Because I wanted to be a normal teenager, man, that could go out and, you know, do things. But I didn't. I never went to a club. I got invited to clubs. I never went to a club. I can't dance for nothing, but I'd have been giving it my all. I'd have been the best, worst dancer there. I promise. Because I don't care how I dance. Do I, Melanie? I don't care. Chicken dance, right? You know that? The MC Hammer hop? I mean, it didn't matter. It's not good. It's not pretty, but it's fun. And that's where I would have been. And so when I see other people's lives, I realize I'm not that much better. I'm not that much stronger than Chuck. I just had a hand in my life that kept me from going down a path maybe like Chuck. That's the only difference. I'm not better. I'm not more holy. I'm not more Holy Ghost filled. I'm not more sanctified. Oh. Gosh, some of these sanctified saints, man, they need just to go on. Because they get on my nerves. I told you about the preacher I ran into, right? There's a preacher I ran into recently at Food Line. He's retired now, older guy, probably about 80. He's retired. He went to a service at a Baptist church here in Statesville a few months back. And he got talking to me about it. And his whole focus of our conversation, I was trying to get away from him. I don't like a lot of preachers. I'm sitting there. And his whole conversation is about, yeah, I went to this service to visit, and there was this guy sitting there in Bermuda shorts right there in service, and I couldn't even concentrate on the message because all that guy's over there in Bermuda shorts. I'm like, dude. I mean, Bermuda shorts, that guy sitting there totally got you so out of whack, you couldn't hear the preacher because a guy in church, OMG, SMH, right, is sitting in church in Bermuda shorts. But that's how far we've gone. My Lord. And I told him, I said, well, and I try and be nice and not just really tell him what I thought. He's an older gentleman. I respect my elders. I was taught that. I felt like throwing some holy water and baptizing him again and saying, the name of Jesus, demon, come out. That's what I felt like saying. But I didn't. So I said, you know, to me, it don't matter how people are dressed. That's not the message. The message is Jesus and teaching them what he came and done for them. How does him having Bermuda shorts make him less? And I could tell in his mind, he really thought, and that was just so wrong. I mean, I couldn't believe what I was hearing from another preacher. This is what's happening with legalism. This is the weight someone has to carry. People ask us all the time, me and Melanie, we want to come visit. What's your dress code? Any way you want. Some dress up, some dress down. Whatever you're comfortable with, just come and hear the word. That's all we care about. It just doesn't matter. But man, there's been so much legalism on that. He has granted us everlasting life if we believe on him. He's calling, church. He's calling us to let go of the rock, to let go of the weight, to let go of what's holding us back, because those limit the ability for us to function effectively in our lives. Whatever that weight is, whatever the stronghold is, God can give you rest from it today. You don't have to keep thinking. Come on up, Marjorie, if you're able to, if you feel like it. You don't have to keep carrying that thing around and owning it. Jesus says, all that come to me, I'll give you rest. And I believe that God has still got some delivering power for his people to where you can be set free and delivered by the hand of God. But you've got to know it's God that does it. It's not man. It's not the church. It's not all the stuff you got to do. I mean, you don't have to do a prep sheet to get ready for God to deliver you. You don't have to do all this stuff. It's simply, God, I need you. I'm ready today to drop the weight. I'm ready to come to the calling of your voice and say, Lord, from this day forward, take my life and use it. Take my life, God, today, and let me know that you're my Lord from this moment on. Let me know, God, that you care for me. So many people need love. You know, Rod and touched on earlier about the news. The media, all the media wants to do is divide. That's all they do. That's how they make their money. Don't let CNN get you all hot. MSNBC get hot. They're trying to make money. That's all that is. Trying to make money. Don't let it get you all caught up. As Rod said, there are a lot of good people. And the media's made it sound like all white people are bad, all black people are bad, all Latinos are bad. That's just divisiveness. That's hate. We don't promote that, church. As Christians, we don't live that way. We focus on love and how God loves every single person. Something else I text that person I'm telling you about, the text I can't, you know, I don't know if I've been forgiven. I remember I did this too. I text her, I says, because she said I failed. Hope I've been forgiven. And I text back, you can't outfail God's grace. That's what we've got to get our heads around. Oh, you don't know them. And I've been in some dark places. You can't outfail God's grace. If I can outfail God's grace, then God's grace isn't enough to cover me. And we know it is. If you have a weight today, you just want to drop. You're tired. You're tired of carrying it. You just say, God, I want to rest in you. I hear your voice. I hear you calling me. I don't know how it all works out, but I just know I need some rest today. I need some peace of mind. I need some strength on the inside. I need some expectation again in my life. My vision's been impaired by what I'm carrying, and I'm ready for my vision to be opened up again to where I can see there's a future waiting on me, God. There's a future with you that I have. No matter what age you're at today, we're all carrying different weights in our lives, different struggles we're battling with. Jesus is not a God that picks and chooses who comes. Mm-mm. His voice is here today calling. Bow your heads if you would. Let me pray just for a minute. Lord, I'm going to open this altar up for people to come and just drop their weight this morning. And I pray as this altar is opened that you will speak to them clearly and boldly. They will hear your voice of love and mercy. And they will walk to this altar, kneel before you, Lord, and just let it go. Just let it go and let your healing come upon their lives. Let your peace and your joy and your strength fill their lives. Lord, we are nothing without you, but we are everything with you. We have no future without you, but we have an eternal future with you. We are truly lost, God, without you, but we are forever found with you. As this altar is open, God, I pray you move on the hearts of the people here. They will come and give it to you. Knowing, God, you are calling them by name today. You are calling them by name. You are speaking to them right now. The feeling they're feeling, Lord, what they're feeling in their hearts and what they're hearing in their minds, that is your voice, God. That is you calling them to give it up. They can have a more powerful, effective life. Bless this part of the service today as we open it up, Lord. Let your will be done in the name of Jesus. Amen. If you want to drop the weight this morning, talk to God, come talk to him, church, for a minute. Just come to the altar and give it to him. Walk out of here free from